Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving time, and we're on air, and I'm so super, uber, uber excited about today. It started out with a huge rainstorm, cleansed the air, the earth smells just populated the house. It is filled with this delightful, beautiful, spring-like moment here on the Gulf Coast of sunny Florida. And I love the rain. It's the best time to just kind of snuggle and relax and sip your coffee a little slower, and it just feels so cleansing. And so that's how I started my morning, in that beautiful meditative state of Today I am back to back with interviews. As you all know, I'm doing YouTube videos on top of podcasts, and I'm super excited about all the inspiration that everybody has brought to the table to share with you. So if you haven't signed up for my YouTube channel, be sure to sign up so you get the little ding whenever I upload a new video. And today, I'm excited about my podcast because I've been trying to connect with Linwood Jackson for a while, and there's scheduling things and all kinds of quick chaos, and then the pandemic, and blah, he's finally on here. He's going to talk to us about mental and spiritual health and the life-altering benefit of what he does. He's devoted to biblical words. He exercises them. He studies them. He finds passion in them. And he feels that the more devotion and energy and passion you have in your devotionals will give you a better mental strength. So, knock, knock, Linwood, is that you?
Yes. Hi.
Hey, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Glad to be with you and with your audience.
Glad to be with you. Yes. So, Linwood, tell us a little bit more of who you are, why you do what you do, and what motivates you.
Well, I like to encourage people to take their experience and to make it real. And that involves stepping away from traditional thought so that you can be more innovative in how you creatively manage your own self. And for me personally, my information on diet comes from the Bible. I study the words. I did because a couple of years ago I was trying to understand love and why I had no knowledge to love myself. Just going through different experiences, I had graduated college. I didn't really know what was going on, why I went to college, what to do with the degree I had, which route, and then I ended up getting sick after that. And so just sitting alone and thinking why I really didn't have any knowledge of what to do with myself or how to care for myself or how I should love myself, I started rummaging around in the garbage cans of the different philosophies that are out there until I came across something I thought was beneficial. I didn't find anything beneficial. I didn't really have any kind of spiritual background that was serious. But, of course, as we all do, there's common knowledge that's shared but not really delved into. So I decided to just one day pick up the Bible and to see what was in it that was valuable and to prove the words that were in it. And I did. The words were physically and mentally beneficial and also emotionally and spiritually helpful. And ever since then, I've been putting them into use and into practice and just voicing to curious individuals about the philosophy that is in the Bible, doctrinally and personally, and how beneficial it is to the mental and spiritual state of both of our personal and devotional conversation.
Now, you've written books on this, correct?
Yeah, I have. I've been so motivated. My first book was Perfecting and Reforming Personal Religion, which is a book detailing not explicitly my experience from being sick into getting healthy, but it's a book detailing the different counsels that I put into use to understand how to better take care of myself. And I would say the underlying principle there is wisdom, and retaining wisdom not just from our experiences, but from, and not just from our environment, but the development that we take internally from our experiences and our environment. You know, flipping that around and using that to gain information about us and about our route where we're supposed to go and how we're going to get to that where we desire to be.
Now, we are curious because you keep mentioning that you got ill. What was your illness?
I graduated college and I was so upset with myself that I went through an experience that I didn't cognitively rationalize. It was, you know, it's traditional thought to just go to college and then you come out and then, you know, you just have whatever you have. And a lot of people my age, I just turned 30. So you've got a lot of 30-year-olds and mid-30-year-olds right now going through a quarter-life crisis where they're realizing that what they went to school for, it's really not their passion. And a whole lot of people I know and I've talked to, they're leaving those jobs that are well-paying jobs. And they're discovering who they are themselves, which is a different kind of route, especially right now with all that's going on in this pandemic. For me, I was disappointed in myself, and I ended up, you know, I like the gym. I love the feeling of the gym. I love the feeling of pain, and I use that as a form of punishment for myself. So I was loving it and then hating it at the same time. And I overdid it by using too many supplements. The supplements got into my body, kind of hurt what is called the vagal nerve, the vagus nerve that runs from the base of the brain. It affects the lungs, the heart, the digestion, every organ that's internal. I aggravated that nerve and was sick, really couldn't do that much. And it was in that period of time that my recollection of myself just submitting my conscience to traditional thought, whether it was from my parents or from society. Why would I do that? Why didn't I have enough intelligence to think for myself? Why did I believe that, you know, a route that was told to me was going to actually be for me as it was told? And it isn't. And a lot of my colleagues my age that I run into, they're discovering the same thing. And for me, the words that are in the Bible helped me to stabilize who I am and to understand what I'm supposed to be doing in my life, even though 30 years old, not yet figured it all out yet, but pieces are coming together, and the more people I talk to, the more encouragement I'm finding from within myself and from others that I'm doing something actually positive, and that's not being talked about in churches because you don't really hear that much about self-development and the benefit of the Bible's words in church, because that's not the route that the Christian religion goes. The Bible's there, but the Bible's not taught.
Give us an example of some of the things that you would encourage folks to do based on your knowledge and understanding of biblical scripture. We don't have a lot of time, but definitely give us an idea of a couple of things, tips, tricks that people could be doing right now during a pandemic. My goodness, we've never gone through that before.
And it's an absolutely perfect time. If curiosity is there and the motivation is there to pick up the Bible and to read it, and not simply read it, let it read you. And as it's reading you, implement what you're reading into your daily routine. You wake up in the morning, whatever you do in the morning, something you've read from the day before, put that into use piece by piece. In that sense, you're getting experience and you're getting wisdom of whether or not what you're reading is true or not. And in that sense, you're creatively managing your time and your person by the things that you're reading. So it's making a larger imprint in you because a memory is being stored both in the heart and in the mind. So that's a little trick that I've put to use and that I've come to see is beneficial, because then you do all of that and then you return back to what you read and then you go, wow, okay, I have a better understanding of that. So what's next today? And then you just slowly move on from that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing a course in love and a course of love, which is a sidebar of a course in miracles. And you can't just read it front to back, upside down, straight. You have to take it very slow and absorb the information and reread it and contemplate the words, because it has a different meaning each time you read it, I think. I think you pick up on different things. You see more, understand better each time you reread parts of the Bible or Course in Miracles. And I think depending on where your head is at, you know, whatever that experience is, wherever you are in experience, it really can determine what you get out of the messaging. And it can be very beautiful sometimes.
It's the most beautiful thing. And that's the beauty of it. We have brains. It amazes me that I was discussing the other day with somebody about the idea of curation. And the idea of a curator is to make something more understandable for someone else so that they can then get motivation from it to then carry on themselves, which is something I find true, but there's the other aspect of it where the curator has become the fact of everything. And so brain power isn't spent learning. Brain power is spent on the opinion of someone who has gotten an opinion from another opinion. They've gotten an opinion from another opinion. And meanwhile, our reliance is on someone who has 9,000 opinions inside of them, when in reality, our responsibility should be to our own mind and experience. So your course sounds very, very, very interesting and definitely beneficial.
If you had any tips or tricks that you wanted to offer because we've got to wrap up the radio, kinds of things would you recommend people do during this time to develop a positive mindset?
Well, again, it would just go back to taking the time to be patient with yourself as you're learning the words that are written, and taking a more serious look at what's being said in your experience with what's being said. I can't really say anything more, because our heart is, as a little child, as a child grows and develops into an adolescent, and then a young adult, and then into an adult, so our heart and our mind is the same way. We have to care for it in the exact same manner, because it's a growing thing inside of us. It's not physical, it's inward, but it goes through the same kind of development that a child goes through into a young adult, and then into an adult, and then to someone who is mature. That in and of itself is the only advice or secret I can give, is to develop the heart that you have within you patiently and temperately, day by day, word by word, piece by piece, just exactly as you said, going and applying and then returning back to, and then going and applying and then returning back to patiently.
Is there any way that people, if they have more interest in expanding on this conversation, if they wanted to reach you, how do they reach you?
They can reach me at my website, linwoodjacksonjr.com, or you can even email me, linwoodjackson@hotmail.com. Truly welcome all emails. I enjoy every comment, and I enjoy communicating with everyone. It's the most beautiful thing to discuss things on a deeper level when somebody hears you, and then they actually get to talk to you, and then you get to talk to them. You know, I don't think we understand the kind of connections we make that are unseen, but it's a beautiful thing when we can actually see them and to take note of them and to have them in our lives, in our development. So you can contact me through my website, linwoodjacksonjr.com, or my email, linwoodjackson@hotmail.com. That's LIN, linwoodjackson@hotmail.com, linwoodjacksonjr.com.
I love making connections. I have made connections all over the world during the pandemic, trying to discern what activities and things everybody is doing all over the world, different cultures, different everything, at this time, to keep a positive mindset and to get excited and motivated and inspired and moving forward. And it's really interesting how everybody is doing something a lot different than the other person. I would have thought it would be more everybody is watching Netflix and overeating and staying in their pajamas, but each person that I've spoken to has really, yeah, I mean, you know, that's kind of what I, where my mind went. But but it's been fun. I mean, people are talking about building a personal mission statement. People are talking about different ways that they've learned to be add creativity into their life. It's just, and the majority, the most common one was to be of service to other people, which I absolutely love. I think everybody should really focus and stay forward thinking in attitude of being of service to somebody else. And so it really sounds like that's what you're doing. You're trying to stay focused in service on other people and encouraging people to move forward on a biblical study for mental and spiritual health. And I think that's just wonderful.
Thank you. It's, you know, it's a lovely thing. You know, we look at words and we just think that they're words. But in some words, really, they are just words. But to know that there are special kind of words that are actually in existence for us to take in that mesh with our frequency and that are built for our vibration, that's special. And to me, the experience of that is revolutionary. Because you talk about, you know, living creatively, you know, managing. Some people think that they don't do anything creatively, but I'm pretty sure there's a whole lot of people that manage their checkbook creatively and they don't think that's something creative. And some people, you know, as you say, they're going through a sort of process inwardly and creatively managing that, flipping who they are, magnifying who they are, eliminating what they are not. That's a creative act that when this pandemic is over and, you know, they're released back into society or even right now when they're with their family, that's beneficial to them and to the people around them. So if you're actually speaking to people and this is what they're doing, that's absolutely amazing, and I'm tragically jealous of you because that's a beautiful experience.
It's been powerful. I was in Spain the other day, virtually, obviously, and it was very touching to hear that folks are celebrating birthdays from balconies and Zoom calls and still trying to do what they can to remain connected to the threads that they love and hold dear to their heart. And it's just, it's very poetic. It's almost like Edgar Allan Poe is rewriting a book, you know? Because it's stark and it's kind of dark, but it's beautiful in the end.
Yep.
Like the stories that are coming out of it are just, it raises the vibration level on humanity for sure when people are focused on doing good for other people and finding creative ways to celebrate life, because life is short, it's limited, it's all full of experience.
Yep.
And it's an emotional, fun ride on a big rock surfing through infinity. And nobody has control over this. This is all in the master plan, and we'll figure it out tomorrow, you know? So it's a beautiful ride. It's a beautiful ride to see what's going on in the world on a real level, not a media level. Do you have any parting words, Linwood, that you want to share?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing, right, as you're saying. And the aspect of right now, creativity coming out of us, you know, the foundation of creative thought is innovation that leads to something that's beneficial, benevolently outside of us, to those outside of us. So I think that this time is really raising an awareness of creativity and creative thought that's keeping us open-minded. And that's one thing I would say. I guess the last thing I would say is the aspect of open-mindedness leads to a more definitive definition of creativity. So to remain open-minded in everything, because there are people passing away from the illness that's out there. And as you say, life is short and it is limited, but what's not limited is what's within us, especially in private. So to be mindful of the time that we have when we're by ourselves, and to be mindful of the time that we have when we're with self, so that that time, it can be spread to the people that are around us, whether they be a lot of people or not, but that time to help another be inspired to manage their own self critically and creatively, and in a loving and fun way and in an enjoyable way.
Well, and that's the big one for me. I have learned, I'm a little bit older than you, and I've learned that it really doesn't matter. We take our work, our minds, our person, our environment far more seriously than we should. And laughter is a huge component of healing. Healing your heart, healing any open wounds,
true.
Healing any regrets, any sadness. And I think it's really where the soul gets to touch life is when you're laughing. And I mean the real laugh, like it's not bubbles and you just can't stop, the silly laugh.
Yeah.
And I have friends that snort. And so when they get laughing, everybody starts laughing because they're snorting, and then their snorting gets bigger. And then it's just a kafah of happiness. Your vibration raises, your energy raises. And it's been said that in playful laughter and having fun and exercising fun, you decrease your depression by 24%. That's huge. Like drugs and alcohol, it's only 4 or 5%. But pure laughter, sitting there and just laughing until you're crying, not like crying sad, but crying laughing, 24%. And I'm like, why don't we have that as a law? Everybody go out and have some fun and laugh and tell jokes and be silly and watch comedies. That should be a law, like a health thing, a benefit on your health insurance. You know, you get $25 for every comedy.
Oh, that's
good. Right?
The world would be ludicrous, but it would be awesome if it was like that.
Oh, it would be amazing. And how many people would like want to fight and beat each other up and be mean and bully? And you don't have time for that. You're waiting for the next slapstick joke, you know? It just would be a nicer place. I think it should be a law. When I become president, that's going to be my second law.
Hey, don't forget me. You know, I support this movement, so at least, you know, I'll be like the 7th Secretary of State or something.
That's it. I think that's wonderful. All right, my dear. One more time with how we can reach you, and I have to let you go, and I apologize. We could probably talk for a while.
It's okay. My website, linwoodjacksonjr.com, you can reach me there, or personally email me at linwoodjackson@hotmail.com.
All right. So, Linwood, stay safe, stay healthy, stay vibrant, and keep doing your work. It's a wonderful thing that you're doing, especially how young you are, to be so focused on exhilarating people's emotional state with positive energy. And I love it. And high five to you for
Thank
all
you.
Of your hard work to get there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Thank you.
You're
Take
listening
care.
To Living. Thank you. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty. And once again, we met a fabulous person from somewhere around the world on this floating rock in the infinity. We soar, and here we are, Linwood Jackson, a young fella who's writing books. I love it on the benefit of biblical words and how you could exercise them, study them, exchange them, think of them. To raise your vibration and understand the Bible on a much more intimate and deeper level. And I think that speaks volumes of the kind of person he is and all the hard work that he had to go through to get to where he's at. I'm back to back every half an hour today, and I absolutely love what I do. I love meeting all of you. I love the fact that you guys are doing wonderful things and you're stepping up, stepping in, and raising the vibration, sending out postcards to strangers, calling people, doing grocery shopping for your elderly neighbors. I mean, you guys are just way more powerful and way more cool than we see on TV. So turn off your television, put your mask on, go out and do something fun. I don't care if it's dancing in the rain. I don't care if it's making cookies. I don't care if it's singing at the top of your lungs. Open up all your windows. I want to hear you here in Florida. Sing. Do something good. Love yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Be passionate. Be creative. Until next time.
You're listening to Knitting and Thriving with Rusty.